So when I create content, the first thing I ask myself is, how is this making my soul happy? And even without our realizing it, when we tap into the deepest sense of what makes us happy, we create content which will automatically make our target audience happy. In other words, you are not trying to reach your target audience, you automatically reach your target audience. I hope that makes sense.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Feel Good Factor. I'm Susmita Veganosaurus and I'm so glad you could join me here today. Hey everyone. Today I have a returning guest, Shailaja Vishwanath. If you've been listening to the show, she has been on episode 33. And she has spoken about mindful productivity for joyful living. Shailaja is a productivity coach, a blogging and social media coach, and she does many, many things. And I just love, you know, I resonate with a lot of the content she shares on her blog as well as on Instagram, because she likes to bring in business with mindfulness, with community building and service, and a lot of the things that I like to really talk about and also learn about. Recently, I saw a post by her a few weeks ago about selfless service, and that really hit me. I was like, oh, wow, you know, my people here have to listen to this and have to know more about it, because a lot of times we are afraid to be selfless when it comes to business. You know, these two things, they have to come together, but we are afraid to mix the two. So Shailaja is great at doing this. She's great at building her community and, of course, attracting abundance while doing all of this. So this is why I thought, okay, let me have her back on the show and do this interview. So, hey, Shailaja.
Hi, Sushmita. Thank you once again for having me back on the show. I really appreciate it. And thank you for that lovely introduction. You also know that I highly resonate with the work that you do. I like the fact that you're so authentic and the way that you completely pour your heart and soul into the content that you create. And I really find that the vibration is of the highest level as far as our energies are concerned.
Oh, wow. That means a lot coming from you, Shailaja. Well, let's get down to this. What is selfless service? You know, let's start with that. So you had spoken about selfless service and you'd even given a quote from the Bhagavad Gita and, you know, explained things. So can you go a little bit into that?
Sure. So selfless service, I mean, of course, I'm not an expert on the Gita or on the, you know, the sacred texts in that sense. But from whatever I have learned from over the last 30 plus years, which is when I really started getting into the spiritual side of things because of my spiritual guru and understanding how to approach anything in our lives, you know, whether they're challenges or whether they're stumbling blocks, whether they're wins, is the fact that when we do anything from a space of service, our approach to the idea of outcomes diminishes and we start enjoying the process itself. And I would like to explain that the whole idea of selfless service is that you are losing the sense of self when you do the work that you do. In other words, you are not considering yourself as the instrument in this particular aspect or in this particular action. It is a higher power that is working through you. So you are basically the instrument through which that action is being conveyed. And one of the things that I do, especially when I'm creating content, and I create content every single day. So even up to a year ago, I would do a lot of planning. I would, you know, create content. I would batch create content. But nowadays, what I do is every morning when I sit down, just before I create my piece of content for the day, I kind of silence all the noise outside and I go within and I allow this sense of selflessness to guide what I'm supposed to be talking about on that particular day. So does that mean I never plan anything? No, but I don't really stick to a plan, if that makes sense. So I may decide that I'm going to be talking about, let us say, habit building today. If I'm going to be talking about habit building, I sit there and I wait for the idea to come to me. I wait for the words to kind of form themselves in my head and the idea to kind of take shape. And then I let myself speak from a space of complete service. So in other words, when I'm creating a piece of content, I want it to reach the highest level of resonance with the readers who come into touch with it, with the readers or the viewers, who, if it's a video, the people who are watching it. And I want them to go away from the piece of content, gaining the highest level of value from it. Now, I'm not saying that it will always happen. There's not a 100% guarantee that it will happen. But when we do it from the sense of, you know, serving our readers, serving our audience, we start understanding that there is more to life than just marketing. There's more to life than just business. There's more to life than just making money. While all of those things are important, especially for people like you and I who are solo business owners, I'm just saying that there is a higher sense of self that we need to aspire to almost on a daily basis. So I'm hoping that with the idea of selfless service, and if it becomes a more integral part of everybody's journeys, they will begin to enjoy creating for its own sake. And that is the purpose of selfless service. You start enjoying the process and you stop worrying about the results or the outcomes.
That is beautifully said, and I absolutely resonate with everything that you said. And you know, this way, the description that you gave of selflessness is very different from what it is normally defined as. And I love that you say that it's about letting the sense of self go and then tapping into that higher energy. And that's a beautiful way of putting it across. And, you know, I do completely believe in what you're saying, what I would call it. Channeling, that's what I usually refer to it as, where you're tapping into your higher self or probably an even higher energy, and then just letting all the information, the content and everything just flow through you. And I've seen that whenever I have let myself do that too, whether it's a podcast episode or whether it's writing a post, I feel like that has resonated with more people and impacted more people in a positive, high vibe, high level way. So that is so true. And you also spoke about how if all of us started doing this, you know, how much better it's going to be. And that makes a lot of sense, because when we start doing this and when we serve with the intention to just serve and find joy and just like really feel fulfilled and content in our lives, we give others permission to do the same. But how do people, like, so if somebody is not used to something like this, because you grow up listening to, okay, business, marketing, hustle, 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 right? So how do you get over that and shift to this kind of thinking? How do you let go of those fears? Or rather, you know, if somebody like you and me who already do this, how do we help people let go of those fears?
That's a lovely question. And I'm going to share what it was that I did for over 2 years in my own business. So I launched my business in March of 2018. And between March of 2018 and I would say May of 2020, I followed all the standard marketing principles that were available online. So my business itself is online. So I went and looked at all the marketing principles that I felt. And this is the thing about marketing, right? So the principles that apparently work are the ones which say, so follow this and you'll get this much money at the end of this particular time frame. So in other words, what are the steps that you put into place to ensure that you always sell every course that you create, or you always fill your client calendar? So that's the kind of I would say it's a very narrow-minded approach to the idea of business, because what it doesn't take into account is the fact that whether or not you're enjoying the process. Also, a lot of mainstream marketing has all these words which create a sense of urgency and a sense of masculinity. What I mean by that is the words hustle, crush, macho, make sure you're heard, be a rebel. Now, all of these are very aggressive marketing tactics. And for someone like me, who is not really an aggressive person by nature, trying to fit myself into that mold always felt very awkward. But I tried to, and we've all heard about, you know, stepping out of comfort zones and where success lies outside your comfort zone, that kind of a thing, right? So I always try to okay, psych myself up into that kind of emotion. You know what, if I want to make my business succeed, I have to do the hard things. I have to use terminology. I have to use the semantics which make people think that, you know, I'm worth listening to. So, you know, make yourself visible, you know, push yourself out there, do the hard things. But all of this was taking me away from who I was as an individual. So who I was as a marketer was not aligning with who I am as an individual. And there comes a point in your life when you realize that all these harsh marketing principles don't really work. And it was that point, I think, for anybody to really adopt these principles and kind of immerse themselves into it completely, it has to come from within. They have to believe 100% that this kind of standard marketing practice does not work. You don't have to be present on every platform. You don't have to be present on all social media. You don't have to be constantly out there cold calling or cold emailing people in order to make sure that you are visible. There is a gentler approach to doing it. And one of the things I realized when I decided to shift my perspective was letting my inner strength become its own form of, let us say, marketing. What I meant by that is, one of my strengths is writing. I write every single day. Even if I don't publish a post every day or I publish a social media graphic every day, I write every single day. In other words, writing for me is the most natural thing in the world. I can't go a day without writing. And I started realizing, even when I was a reasonably, I won't say popular, a reasonably read blogger back, right up to the middle of 2017 or late 2017, the kind of people who found my work and who resonated with what I did it through my writing. In other words, my writing is my superpower. So when I started tapping into that and I started saying, you know what, if I write the way I think, and if I therefore use, if I can market the way that I write, why am I trying to be somebody that I am not? And so I started going deeper and deeper into that aspect of creation. So, and I realized creation itself is a form of selfless service, because when you create, you are not necessarily worried about, you know, how this is going to be received. And that's one of the reasons, for example, and I also wrote about this on Medium. So I write on Medium pretty much once or twice a week. Now, Medium, at least at this point of time, which is early 2021, does not pay writers outside, or rather does not pay certain writers in the world, you know, people who belong to countries like India, Brazil, and so on, because we don't qualify for the Stripe payment platform. So a lot of people ask me, why do you write on Medium when you don't get paid for it? You know, so that's like asking me, you know, why would you give your content away for free? Why would you give away anything valuable for free? And I realized that at some level, the reason I continue to do that is because Medium gives me a place to explore the creative side of my personality without any, you know, outcomes attached to it. I'm not writing because I'm going to be earning a certain, you know, amount of money thanks to that. It's not a writing project. It's not a writing assignment. It's not a technical writing course. It is just an expression of who I am. And I can always, of course, write in my own journal. If I were truly seeking only writing expression and I'm not really worried about the outcome, you could say, then why not just write in your journal? Why are you writing on a public platform where people can see it? But what I realized is a lot of ideas that I have today are absorbed from writings that I have seen online, books that I have read online, podcasts that I've listened to, such as this one and various others. In other words, it is this abundance of quality content that has found me through various means that inspires my marketing as well. So when I create content, the first thing I ask myself is, how is this making my soul happy? And even without our realizing it, when we tap into the deepest sense of what makes us happy, we create content which will automatically make our target audience happy. In other words, you are not trying to reach your target audience. You automatically reach your target audience. I hope that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you were speaking about why publish on Medium and why not journaling and how you have found. So the thing is, you could still do it even in your on your blog in a separate space. But then the whole point of putting it in an entirely new platform is also because it reaches a wider audience and you don't know who it's going to help. They may come follow you, they may like, not. But, you know, ultimately, it may actually really, truly impact them. And that's what you want finally for a content creator. One is you finding joy out of it. Yes, that is like of the utmost importance. If you push yourself like, oh, I have to do this today, that's why I have to write this post. That doesn't, you know, it doesn't work.
I always remember this quote from James Clear. It's not like you have to do it, you get to do it, you know. Yes. So I always remind myself of that because I no longer rely on things like motivation when it comes to, you know, writing or working out or, you know, doing something. I find joy in routines, predictability and schedules. So that sounds a little odd, especially if you're talking about the creative aspect, because creativity by definition is kind of given free rein, you know, it's uninhibited, it's unhindered, whereas a schedule and a routine sounds very structured. So it really astonishes people when I say I'm a productivity coach, but I'm also a writer and a creator. You know, how do you align these two things? But that's the thing, right? I'm not a rigid productivity coach. What I mean by that is, I'm not very strict about, you know, I have to do this. I always tell myself, you know what, I get to do this. I get to show up every single day and create something. Whether or not it actually makes it to a published platform is secondary. I get to get up every single day and write a few words in my journal. I get to, you know, lace up my shoes every evening and go for a walk just to experience that sense of fresh air. In other words, I'm not pushing myself to do anything. I'm doing it because it gives me joy. And ultimately, sharing the joy with other people gives them joy as well. It's as simple as that. And I wish everybody would understand that that's effectively the secret sauce to, you know, content creation or, you know, any kind of activity for that matter, or habit building. Find joy in whatever you're doing and everything becomes doable. In fact, I think this is something that a lot of high school students can actually use as well. You know, if they find that a particular chapter or a particular subject is boring or dry or uninteresting, how do you make it interesting? You know, so I say always look for ways to make things interesting. So if you find a particular textbook, so, you know, a chapter in biology boring, watch a video on the, you know, subject. That's the beauty of, you know, content being available in so many different formats these days. You know, sign up for a podcast where a person is taking you through the fun aspects of science. In other words, find joy. That is how I fell in love with mathematics, you know, back in grade 9 and 10. Until then, I was a clear out and out literature student. In the sense, you give me any number of books to read, any number of poetry passages and things to analyze, I would sit and do it. But you ask me to sit and work out a trigonometry problem, yeah, you're going to be facing a lot of resistance. But here's the thing, when I found joy in mathematics, and I credit that completely to my 9th and 10th grade teacher, you start understanding the magic that is there in every single thing. So some people don't like to do taxes, for example. You know, some people don't like to do invoicing. Some people don't like to do anything which has to do with, you know, spreadsheets and formulae and, you know, the technical side of things. I mean, it's understandable because we've all grown up with these certain preconceived notions about what we should do and we should not do, what is boring and what is fun. So we have very clear distinctions in our mind that this is what it is. But I find that even something as technically challenging as, say, setting up a WordPress website, and I did this completely on my own about a couple of years ago, I went through the technical training material and I decided, you know what, I'm going to give it a go. What's the worst that can happen? I may mess things up, but I can always go back and fix a mistake, right? Mm. And I actually did the entire thing on my own. And I had a support, I had some support staff whom I could reach out to in, you know, in case of an emergency, where they would walk me through, okay, this was a mistake you made, go back and fix it. In other words, I think the more we stay open to the idea of learning for its own sake, again, I think I have to keep coming back to that. Do everything for its own sake, not because there is an outcome attached to it. In fact, one of the things I tell my clients when they sign up for coaching sessions is, I'm not going to give you a result-oriented outcome. I'm not going to tell you that, you know, if you follow this particular strategy, that you will get, you know, 10,000 page views in 6 months. I will promise you that if you follow these strategies and, more importantly, stick with them consistently, you learn to love creating for its own sake. That means you are no longer worried about an outcome, a goal, or a particular flag post at some mythical end of the journey. I will teach you to enjoy the journey itself. Because when you enjoy the journey, here's the interesting thing that happens. Results follow. Without your searching for them, without your actually actively seeking them, without your actually doing anything, you'll find that people will, you know, sign up for your sessions, sign up. And that's exactly what has been happening in just the last 5 to 6 months, I would say. Because I completely started throwing myself into creation for its own sake and enjoying creating. You know, I just enjoy creating just for its own sake. I've been like, and I think we talked about this even earlier this week. My client calendar is almost always full now every month without my actively marketing it. So in other words, the content itself becomes a vehicle for marketing, but without actually being an obvious marketing engine, if that makes sense. So people start looking at the work that you're doing and saying, you know what, she enjoys what she does. I want that kind of joy in my own life. You know, and that is what people reach out and ask me. So how do you do this? You know, how do you just create every single day? I don't have that. I don't have that commitment. I don't have that motivation. I don't have that drive. And the first thing I tell them is, you don't need motivation. You don't need drive. You don't need any of these things. You just need an intention. You need an intention which says, I want to create because I get to create. That's it. If you are ready with that as the primary objective, everything else will fall into place even without your actually working towards it.
Yeah, that all makes a lot of sense to me. And, you know, even when I do my business coaching and I talk to people, I teach about abundance mindset. I teach about, you know, being actually loving your business, because especially for heart-centered entrepreneurs, we'll start with full josh and joy. And then when it starts taking things out of you, you know, how do you continue to keep on loving your work, your business? And I always bring it back to self. It's like, you see how you can have fun, how you can be happy, how you can, you know, take time off for yourself, prioritize yourself and your fulfillment and happiness. Everything else will follow. It will fall into place because, like you said, it's the energy that you're putting out into the world. So people who are watching you see that energy and like, okay, you know, that's the results. You were saying you don't promise results oriented, but that is the result that you're promising.
It's a very metaphysical level.
It's actually, you know, you can even say emotional result, like, you know, and ultimately what? Why are we earning? Why are we doing anything? Ultimately, because we want to be happy. So just go into the fulfillment and happiness right from the get-go and let other things fall into place.
Yes.
And, you know, you were talking earlier about your standard marketing techniques, the masculine energy, basically. Right. And I do get what you mean by that, right? The aggressiveness and all that. And honestly, like when I started doing my online courses and stuff like that, I saw this whole thing of, you know, opt-in, lead magnet, pipeline, funnel. And it used to give me so much anxiety looking at all this. Two things came out of that. One is being more relaxed about it and then just doing things on a basic level without really going out of my way, doing things which just doesn't seem in alignment with my energy. That helped. And second thing, also learning about those things for the sake of learning about them, that also helped, you know, because many times we are afraid to even learn or try things. But sometimes when you actually do try things, do learn things, and like you said, specifically learn from sources, from people who are actually enjoying that process. Even when it comes to, you know, productivity, organization and things, there are people like you whom I have listened to. And as a creative person, you know, productivity and discipline and scheduling and organizing doesn't come very easily to me. But because watching you do this and have so much fun with it, that's what, like, you know, inspired me. I'm like, yeah, I have to, you know, look at all these people. They're really doing, pulling both off, like being this as well as that. So then you learn from it. So that way, even learning about these so-called hustle marketing techniques, just learning a little bit about them, exploring, just putting my toes in the water, you know, dipping my toes there and see, is this for me or not?
Yeah, totally agree. No, see, I think, and I keep telling people this, you know, I think every experience that we go through happens for a reason. So for instance, if I know I've gone through exactly what you're talking about, right? I've gone through the entire thing about tripwires and marketing funnels and opt-ins and lead magnets. And about 6 months ago, I decided to completely transform my approach to email marketing. So much so now that when people sign up for my email marketing workshops, I don't teach any of these things. And yes, growth is slower, but growth is more organic. So I always tell people, would you rather have 10 people on your email list who will always open every single thing that you, you know, talk about, every single update that you send, or would you rather have 10,000 people who quietly delete your emails or send them to the spam or the junk folder and never actually engage? So that is why when there is a numerical value attached, whether it's the number of followers, the number of email subscribers, I always feel there's a certain sense of pressure or stress that we unconsciously attract towards ourselves. So one of the things I do almost on a very regular and a monthly basis is I go and, you know, gently prune and trim my various lists, you know, across social media, across emails, because I also realize, let us say, for instance, you know, a friend of mine, or let us say you, for instance, talk about my newsletter on your social media, okay, and you say that I really like this newsletter, all of you should go sign up for it. Let us say 7 or 8 people see that post of yours and they say, hey, you know what, I should go sign up for Shailaja's newsletter, and they sign up. But this is the thing, have they signed up because they wanted to, or because somebody else recommended it to them? In other words, were they ready for the kind of newsletter that I was going to be sending to them, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is the thing. A lot of people don't know that you can just hit the unsubscribe button. They feel self-conscious. They feel awkward because they think, how will that other person feel if I unsubscribe after having subscribed? So I keep telling people, please unsubscribe without having any sense of anxiety about it, because you are actually helping the person who is creating the newsletter to reach their true target audience. This doesn't mean that you must be blamed for signing up for the newsletter. It doesn't mean that you are, you know, you did something wrong. It just means that at this point in your life, that newsletter, that person, their ideas are not the right fit for you. So I always say this, right? God's delays are not his denials. What I mean by that is, just because it's a no right now, doesn't mean it will always be a no. So for instance, I remember signing up for a newsletter 4 or 5 years ago. And after about 4 or 5 weeks, I went ahead and unsubscribed. And then late last year, I went and signed up again for that newsletter, because now I felt I was more receptive to the ideas and the thoughts and the concepts that the person was talking about. So this is very important. We are changeable beings, and it is okay to change our minds. It's okay to try the wrong things and tell ourselves, okay, this was wrong for this reason. So I've been a part of all those, you know, tripwires, sales funnels, chasing numbers, all of these things. And then I told myself, none of this is working because it doesn't align with who I am as an individual. So I need to stop reading all these kinds of content. I need to stop reading books which talk about this kind of idea. I need to stop listening to podcasts which pressure you to do more, hustle more, get out there more, and start doing and listening more to the voices that talk about do what makes your soul happy, you know, and connect with the people who find your message to be of the true value. So I feel we all go through this transition process, and it's perfectly fine. So if a person listens to this podcast, for example, and then tomorrow feels inspired to follow the heart-centered approach to marketing, yes, that's definitely a win. But that doesn't mean that every single person is going to do it. And again, it's not wrong. It's not wrong. It just means they're not ready yet. So just because they may be seeing results from the other style of marketing, that's okay too. So in other words, when I say selfless service, it should be truly selfless. I should not be creating content with the expectation that every single one of my Instagram followers will definitely align with every single thing I am talking about. It doesn't have to be that way. If I'm selfless, I should truly release and let go, even as far as attachments to my followers are concerned, because they are not followers in the sense that they're not following a cult. They're not following a, you know, fixed belief system. I'm allowing them to take what works for them and reject what does not. And that's the beauty of selfless service. The beauty of selfless service is you do the work, you create the content, and then you step back. You step back. It's like, you know, it's like you, let us say you go on a, you know, you go on a feeding project or something, right? You go on a project where you decided to feed, you know, a group of underprivileged children. I'm just completely pulling this out of my hat. Okay. If you decide that, you know, after you've done that particular task or whatever, if you feel that all those children should come and thank you for, you know, taking time out of your valuable time out of your day, this is one standard thing on all I remember as chief guests of schools, thank you for taking this valuable time out of your day to come and be here, kind of a thing. So if you have that expectation that somebody will thank you for doing the work that you do, that isn't selfless service. In other words, what I try to teach people is start learning to sit with the silence. In other words, if you're creating content and nobody sees it, nobody responds to it, nobody likes, comments, shares, saves, amplifies, nothing. That is true selfless service. And I keep telling people this happens to me, although nobody believes it. There are pieces of content of mine, especially if you go and see my Facebook page, it's like a complete desert over there as far as engagement is concerned. But I continue to post there because, you know why? I just enjoy posting there. That's it. I just enjoy posting the content.
That's so true. And which is why, see, when can you be truly selfless? If you're pushing yourself and going out of your comfort zone, if you're not really enjoying the process and you're doing it, then you will expect all the, people have to be thankful, people have to appreciate it, this, that, whatever. But you've already got what you wanted out of it, which is the enjoyment, which is like, oh, this was so much fun. Then it doesn't matter whoever it's supposed to reach, whenever it's supposed to reach, it will reach, that's it. You know, and if it doesn't, it won't.
Very true. I keep reminding people this. So think about all those people who've written books, right? And I'm talking about pre-social media. So that that is the biggest challenge with social media, is because it's created this prism of instant gratification. So what do most of us do? We post a piece of content and then we hang around for about, 10 or 15 minutes. Okay, how many people have liked it? How many people have dropped a comment? How many people have shared it? And how many people remember to tag me while sharing it? So just think of the amount of pressure you're placing both on your central nervous system and your levels of anxiety. So much so that you're tying the value of your creation to something like 10 or 20 or 100 likes. Instead, I keep reminding myself of this, of all those poets, all those novelists, all those creators who wrote in absolute oblivion. Most of them got fame or, any kind of renown or recognition only after they passed away. Now, we are actually so much more blessed. We can sit in the comfort of our homes, create a piece of content, and it reaches even one person. Think of the impact you're making on that one person. But unfortunately, because this numbers game is such an integral part of social media and such an integral part of how people perceive their own value, a lot of people are unable to come to terms with it. So that is why selfless service, I feel, and selfless service, especially as far as content creation is concerned, is I feel something that many people will come to only after a certain level of disappointment. And I'm being very honest over here. Because if you are the kind who will come into social media with zero expectations, you are highly evolved. Let me be very honest. Yeah. It's very, very unlikely that you will you will be a person who will come to social media, post, and then completely post in oblivion and then go about your way. Nobody sees it, nobody engages with it. It's not an easy place to be in. But if you have come to that place over a period of time, like you have your mind has started understanding and your soul has started understanding that you mean far more than those numbers, you know, than those, you know, those likes. It's when you truly start understanding the value that you bring to this entire ecosystem. And that is why content creators who truly internalize this concept and practice it on a consistent basis are the ones who have all my support and all my heart. So I follow very few people on social media. You know, if you see the number of people I follow on Instagram. And this is a list I've curated after a lot of thought, which means these are the people, and they are not necessarily all in my niche. They are not even necessarily all business owners. So they are all people I truly want to appreciate and cherish for the work that they do, because I know the value of the work that they do. Because I know that these are the people who have spent enough time working on their craft. They truly enjoy the work they do. They truly enjoy connecting with the, you know, the handful of people who connect with them. And they make it all worthwhile. And I know that they are the people who will appreciate it if they get a genuine sense of appreciation from, you know, their followers. It's not, I'm not a drop in the ocean for a person who has 50,000 or 70,000 or 100,000 followers. You know, I am a person who matters to a person who has 500 followers. And vice versa, you know. And that is why one of the things I teach in every single client session is treasure every person who makes the effort to reach out to you. And I know this doesn't go down well with a lot of content creators, because they say, oh, this many people are sending me direct messages. Why can't they read my post? Why can't they read the entire post and find out? And I keep telling them, it's not just a question of, you know, why can't they do it? If they have taken the effort to reach out to you genuinely, I keep thinking of myself as asking, if this person was a 70-year-old person doing so, would we be this short-tempered? No, right? We would be kinder. Just as a simple example, let us say your mom or your dad or your in-laws, one of them reaches out and says, you know, I downloaded this app. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it. Can you help teach me what this is used for? Something as simple as, you know, using WhatsApp, because it's a very useful tool for people, especially of the, you know, older generation. So can you say, oh, it's easy. Here's a video tutorial. Go read it and do it. You wouldn't do that, right? Number one, it's rude. And number two, it isn't something that you would instinctively say. We would always say, you know what? Let me make some time to sit with you, 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever, and walk you through the process. So I always remind myself of this. We too will be that age at one point in our life, you know. So you should never have that arrogance of youth or middle age. It's very important to remember. So whether a person who is 8 or a person who is 48 or a person who is 80 asking you that question, you should be kind to people. You should be compassionate and understanding of people's time, people's limitations. Yes, of course we expect that people will value our time. But if they don't, maybe you can gently let them know that, okay, I don't have the time right now, but perhaps we can connect at a later date. Or you can maybe send them a tutorial. If you've written a short tutorial about it, you can say, would you like to check out this tutorial? And if you're having any trouble with any specific step, I'd love to be able to help you out. So all I'm trying to say is, when you are truly in the selfless service or the seva mode, as I call it, none of these things will really annoy you. None of these things will irritate you. If you find yourself getting irritated by these things, chances are you're not yet ready for that stage of selfless service. And that's okay. That's okay. It's a process. We grow, you know, we grow through what we go through. So I have been short-tempered in the past. I have faced my demons, you know. I have come through situations where I've had my dad tell me, unless you learn to listen, you will never be a good teacher. So I've had to unlearn so many things. One of the things, as we talked about earlier, was, you know, the standard macho marketing principles. That's something I had to unlearn. The second thing I had to unlearn was the idea that I should learn to listen more to people. So it's not always, you know, talk, because that's what you think a coach or a teacher or a trainer has to do. There's a lot of empathy, compassion, and kindness, which is an integral part of communication. And I wish more people would have it. Now, what I wish for and what actually happens are obviously going to be two different things. And that is why I tell people, the path of selfless service is not necessarily the right one for everybody. You will find it when you are ready for it. That's the important thing.
How do you, you know, you were talking about being patient with everyone and compassionate. And yes, I agree, patience, compassion, kindness, these are very, very important. But then how do you, you know, figure out, because there are also people who are entitled, who will cross boundaries and who will take just advantage. So how do you decide this, or how do you, or do you just surrender and be kind and then the universe just sends you the people who actually need it? How do you
No, that's a fantastic question. But I also believe that just because we are compassionate doesn't mean we become pushovers. So what is important is learning to say no, and but learning to say no with kindness. In other words, if for instance somebody reaches out to you and says, hey, I saw your post and I know you do this, can you help me? So then the first thing I ask them is, number one, is this urgent? Okay, if this is not urgent, can this wait? And if I can direct them to somebody else with more expertise in the topic, that's the first thing I do. That's also part of the abundance principle, because if I feel like I have to be putting out all the fires in the world, I'm not going to have any energy left over either for myself or my true audience or my true clients. So that's the first thing. So learning to say no is as important as learning to say yes. So, and this again is something that I believe we learn over time. It doesn't just, you know, you can't just read a blog post on how to say no and, you know, five steps to saying no and you start saying no the very next day. Because it's also a personality thing, right? You can't just turn your personality on and off at the flick of a button. It's not that easy. But there are things you can learn and unlearn. So as an example, somebody reached out to me about a month and a half ago saying that they wanted to interview me for their YouTube channel and they wanted to talk about me being a parenting blogger. So I told them, see, I am no longer a parenting blogger. Okay, so I kind of decided to move away from that niche 3 years ago. So, and I told her, and this is what I told her, and she was very understanding about it. And I said, I would love it if you could have other up and coming parenting bloggers to talk to, because it would really help their visibility as well. Whereas I do say yes to, you know, podcasts or interviews where we're talking about business and authentic business and heart-based marketing, because I really want more people to talk about this. And that is something that I have been following for the last year and a half, so I can speak to it with some level of authority. I don't use the word expert anymore, but that's the kind of thing. So how to say no is as important as how to say yes. So yes, don't be a pushover, be kind, but also learn where your boundaries are. So for instance, one of the boundaries I have is, if it is a very detailed question that you want to ask me, I would much rather that you emailed me about it instead of sending me a direct message on Instagram or Facebook or wherever it is. The reason I recommend this is because email allows me time to breathe. Social media messaging, WhatsApp messaging, whatever messaging platform you use, has a sense of immediacy and urgency. And as somebody who's trying to practice and implement slow business, which is basically the idea of taking things at a very reasonable pace, I don't want to be answerable to other people at the touch of a button. I want people to give me time to breathe, give me time to process the information. And whether it is a yes or a no, I can get back to it better over email, because I would have had time to think about a very structured and measured response. So I'm not just going to say no. I will say, this doesn't work right now. Let's get in touch maybe 6 months from now, you know, something like that. Then learning that distinction is important. And all of this will come with practice. So I'm not saying that, like I said, you can't read a post and, you know, become how to say no in the next day. Yeah.
You know, it's not just one practice, it's constant. Sometimes you just go back, you slip, you
perfectly
have to keep on reminding. That's why you need more of these contents out there, more people telling you the same thing again and again. I never get annoyed if it's the same principle, you know, abundance mindset that is spoken about by 100 people. I will listen to all of them, because you need that reminder. You know, all of us, even those who teach it, we need these reminders to keep
I was just going to say that. In fact, a lot of content creators remind themselves of these principles the more they create it. So just because I have spoken, so for instance, one of the things that I am testing and I'm fairly sure I will see it through is deleting my Twitter account, because I have not really found much use for it in the last 6 to 8 months. And this is coming from somebody who, you know, who's actually won awards for using Twitter the best possible way. And I've had it for over a decade. I've had the Twitter account for over a decade. But the thing is, the complete fabric of social media and Twitter has changed in just the last 4 or 5 years. And where I am right now in my business and the way I do my business, Twitter is really not fitting into that ecosystem. So what I have done is, as of yesterday, I've deactivated the account. So it stays deactivated for 30 days. And then if you don't reactivate it, the account itself gets deleted. That's how Twitter works. So I deactivated with the intention that I may revisit the possibility of reactivating it, you know, 30 days down the line. But the entire day, throughout yesterday and today, when I had deactivated it, not once have I felt that something was missing. You know, and I realized that is true, because in the last 4 to 5 months, when I haven't really been actively using Twitter, I haven't missed anything. I haven't missed anything on the platform. I haven't missed anything from the people I was following, because I was anyway subscribed to their newsletters, or I was following them on some other social media platform, or I was listening to their podcasts, in which case Twitter just became an unnecessary, you know, appendage, which is of really no value. It's basically a vestigial organ at this point in time, right? So one of the things I keep telling people is, analyze what works for you, what doesn't, and be ready to take steps which will help you change for the better. And that could be anything. For instance, I say no tripwires, I say no opt-ins, no funnels. But if for you at this stage in your life, tripwires, funnels, opt-ins, and lead magnets are working, go ahead and test them out. I'm never going to be the one who will say, because I said it, stop doing it. You know, it doesn't make sense to me.
There is no right and wrong, no? There is no fixed right and wrong. And this, again, comes down to the non-judgmental way, you know, the selflessness that also includes not being judgmental. If somebody else is practicing this and it's working for them, you can't say, oh, that is the wrong way to do it, this is the right way to do it, just because you're doing it a certain way right now.
Exactly. In fact, I just did a beta session yesterday, and one of the participants, she's an absolute sweetheart. One of the things she asked was, will this work for my niche? And she said, because you're creating the course, I want to buy it. So I had to stop her right there. I said, no, you never have to buy something just because I'm creating it, ever. You have to buy something only if you feel that will specifically benefit you and your business. Otherwise, you're just trying to make me happy. And ultimately, you're going to be, you know, investing in something which may not be right for your business. So why would you do that? And I categorically tell people, please do not buy my courses, my ebooks, or, you know, sign up for my coaching sessions just because we're good friends, or just because you don't want me to feel bad. Because at the end of the day, you need to serve yourself. That's the first important thing. You need to serve yourself and your business, and serve your audience to the best of your ability. If that means you will find the tools to get you there through a particular person who is not me, I will gladly guide you towards that person, and I will encourage you to take that person's course over mine. There is no rule in marketing which says you should only buy from, you know, person X and never buy anything from person Y. No such rules apply.
You're saying this, but then also, when you are being authentic and when you are being selfless and all these things, people are buying your courses for you, not to please you, but for you. You know, you have to remember that. Like, why do I read your newsletters? I open every single newsletter you send. Why do I do that? It's not that every single piece of content you write there is for me. It's because somehow there will be something there, some idea which will pop out, and I know there is going to be value out of this, at least in some form or another. So it's because they like reading, or even if nothing else, it's like just because they like reading what you have written. There's that too.
Very kind of you to say.
I wanted you to talk a little more about two things that you have, you know, brought up right now in this conversation. One is slow business. Oh my God, that is so important to me. And, you know, that is totally against all things that have been taught to us, right? Like, especially in the era of technology, everything has to be immediate. I'm like, shut up, you don't need my immediate reply. You know, I've always had this attitude right from the get-go, like, nothing is urgent unless you're a brain surgeon or someone's dying or whatever. Right. Nothing is so urgent. So take it slow. And when you do this, you're helping others do this too, because you're setting that in your ecosystem. And which brings me to the second topic, which is the ecosystem, which I love, which I truly believe in this, and I love that you do too, which is taking the whole thing as a community and then uplifting each other and people in the same niche, people teaching the same damn thing that you are. You will still, you know, promote them, put them out there, let people know about it. And that, you know, that which leads to abundance mindset. So can you speak about both these things?
Okay, so slow business, one of the reasons I advocate slow business is because I believe more people need to adopt something called the 3-year or the 5-year mindset instead of the 3-month or the, you know, 6-month mindset. Most of us have this, I need to see results in 90 days or I need to see results in 6 months. And if I don't see results in that time, you know, I'm a useless person or I'm a loser and I'll never succeed. But the truth is there is something called a tipping point. And the tipping point only happens when you've been doing the things that you have been trying for a reasonable length of time. And I keep asking people, you went through 10 to 12 years of formal schooling. Most of us have also done 2 plus 3, 5 years of, you know, advanced college degrees. Mm-hmm. So where was all this instant gratification back then? It wasn't there. There was never the expectation that, you know, you would become a math genius after attending a 3-month crash course. It wouldn't happen. It's just impossible, right? It will not happen. So I keep telling people, the more you appreciate, and that's another reason why consistent content creation is very important and something that I try to encourage people to do. I don't force, I try to encourage people to do, is because the more you internalize the idea of creating for its own sake, and the more you release your sense of expectation from what it might actually lead to 3 or 5 years down the line, like I said, slow business will ensure that you are reaching the right kind of people at the time that it matters. Everything takes time. Everything takes time. Whether that's business, whether that's your writing, whether that's your art and craft, whether that's a food blogging channel, everything takes time. So to expect that you will create something today and, you know, you'll go viral in the next 6 months is always an exception. And I keep telling people, all the success stories you see are exceptions. The ones which make it big, the ones which, you know, go viral, the ones which kind of break the mold, so to speak. You are only seeing the success stories. You are only seeing the exceptions. You are not seeing the months and years and maybe decades of hard work. One of the things I remember sharing maybe about 4 to 5 months ago somewhere on Instagram was the idea that The Queen's Gambit, which was this 5-part or 6-part miniseries on Netflix about the chess prodigy, that is a story which was written 5 decades ago. 5 decades ago, and that person, the writer, has been trying to find a production house or to, you know, convert that and make it into something worthwhile over 5 decades, and finally he found. So I'm not saying you need to wait 5 decades to see a success, but what I'm trying to say is that is a rule. That is a rule. That is not the exception. Whereas most of social media will only show you the exceptions. So it's important that we, you know, separate our expectations from the work that we do. And that is why selfless service, again, it comes back to that. And I'm sorry, I forgot. The second question was about the abundance mindset, right?
Yeah. Yeah, community, you know, community. Abundance mindset and community.
Yeah. I am of the firm belief that the more we celebrate the people in our community, the more we genuinely talk about the work that they do, and not out of a sense of expectation of something in return. For instance, if I'm talking about somebody's work on my Instagram or in my newsletter, it's because I genuinely believe in the work that they do. So it also matters that you take the time to know the people that you are celebrating. In other words, don't just promote somebody because you came across them last week on a podcast. Okay, this is for all your new listeners as well. So take the time to know more about the person, the value systems, their beliefs. What is it that they do? What is it they stand for? And this is important because only when you truly cherish the values based on which the person is sharing, will you be able to authentically share with somebody else. Yeah. Otherwise, it just becomes a reciprocal, you know, I scratch my back, you scratch yours kind of, which is a very surface level community building. I would rather celebrate those people whose work and values deeply align with what I believe. Because then I can bring true value into that recommendation. So if I say, sign up for a session or a workshop with Sushmita, it's because I know the kind of value Sushmita brings to the work that she does. I have known her for a long time. I've known her from before I became a blogging coach. I've known her from before my blog was on WordPress. In other words, the connection, the deep-seated connection is important. Now, in some cases, you will vibe with people instantly. I've had that happen as well. In the sense, the minute you find somebody you know, that sense of alignment, you know that the universe has brought that person into your sphere.
Yeah.
Even then, take it slow, especially when it comes to recommending them to other people. Because you know that you don't want the aura of admiration to cloud your recommendation. You would rather do it from a space of understanding. And that is why I tell people, I would rather that you take the time to know 5 people over 5 months instead of trying to network with 50 people in the space of 4 weeks. Mm. Because it will all be surface level. You can easily network with 50 people. That's like walking into a networking event at a LinkedIn networking event and handing out a visiting card to 50 people. It's like speed dating, right? But in speed dating, you don't really get to know the other person. You have exactly 5 minutes and you only see what they choose to show. But if you take the time to know 5 people well, understand who they are, what they stand for, including their likes, their dislikes, and things that you may not align with, you know, what you believe, then you can bring authenticity into promoting them as well to your community.
Yeah, that's so true. And doing it absolutely fearlessly, knowing that it's only for the highest good of all, you know, yourself, them. Not with an expectation, but in general, it's overall a good thing and it's good energy that you're putting out there. And just because they're doing the same thing that you are, it doesn't mean you're cutting away from yours. You're only providing your audience more value. Because what is the goal? You want your audience to actually learn these things. So whether they're learning from you, from somebody else who's good at it, you know, learning it from 100 different angles, go for it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I think if we were to wind up the session, I would say, if you can help your audience find a means of aligning with their highest self, that alone is the best form of selfless service that you can do. That means if you help them find that within, that spark within them that makes them feel good about what they're doing.
Beautiful. Beautifully said. And that makes so much sense. We can keep talking as usual. Last time I told you this. Let's wind up. And, you know, thank you so much for sharing all these insights, Shailaja. And I do hope people listen to it completely till the end and, you know, learn a lot from it and put these things into practice. Because I do believe honestly that, yes, we were talking about masculine energy, but a lot of what you share is the feminine energy, taking it slow, being loving, welcoming everybody, and also, you know, taking care of yourself. So boundaries, all of it comes under that. And it's so important. It will help if the world, more of the world, shifts towards this energy, and, you know, it will help everybody altogether. So thank you so much for doing everything that you do and for sharing your valuable time.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Sushmita. And I don't just say that lightly. I like it because it also opens up so many possibilities in my own space as far as, you know, creating content and listening to the kind of ideas that you bring to the table. So, and I really appreciate the work that you do with this podcast as well as your website and your social media channel. As always, a true joy to connect and speak with you. So thank you again.
Thanks so much, Shailaja. Bye.
Bye.
Wow, that was quite an awesome interview, wasn't it? I'm sure you found plenty of content in there to be inspired by, lots of new ideas. And if you've been wondering how to feel good about running your business, how to find more joy in the process, then I'm very sure listening to Shailaja speak has given you a lot of clarity and some new directions to think on. If you want more of Shailaja, then you can find her on her website, shailajav.com. That is shailajav.com. She's also at ShailajaV on Instagram. Connect with her, follow her. She does a lot of live videos. She writes a lot of very inspiring content on her blog as well as on Medium. I'm going to share all the links and all the good stuff with you in the webpage of this episode. If you're enjoying the Feel Good Factor, then you're going to love the Feel Good Tribe newsletter. It's my newsletter which I send out once or twice a month, and it's filled and brimming with lots of content. Some of it from me. I talk about the podcast episodes that I've been doing, about different courses and coaching programs that I've been coming with, my personal stories, especially the fun stuff, which I just don't share anywhere else, neither on social media, nor on my podcast, nowhere else. And more importantly, I share valuable information, links, content from other people that I have found inspiring throughout the month. Go to my website, www.veganosaurus.com. That's veganosaurus.com. And scroll right to the bottom and you'll find a way to subscribe to my newsletter there. And if you enjoyed this episode, do take a screenshot and share it on your Insta stories. Tag Shailaja and me on it. And more importantly, let us know what your takeaways were from the episode. Which of the content moved you? What message really resonated with you? We would love to hear that. So let us both know. I'm really looking forward to hearing from you. Talk to you soon. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Feel Good Factor. I'm Susmita Veganosaurus and I'm looking forward to talking to you again very soon. Bye!